Sorry, you guys, this morning. Who's had a good summer so far? Anyone besides my sister? Huh? You had a birthday, yeah. I know, I was there for it. For part of it. Summer's been good? I wouldn't know, because I haven't had too much of a summer. I've been working. You guys know the story of Noah, right? Noah with the ark, not Moses with the ark, because Moses didn't have an ark. But that's a joke. How many animals did Moses take on the ark? Yes. That's like an old joke. He took 2x2. Okay, it's like an old joke that I don't even know anymore. Okay, so the story of Noah, we're just going to recap it quickly because we're not going to focus on the flood, but we're going to focus on the time after the flood. So you guys know about the flood. Noah was told to build an ark by God. He built the ark. And how old was he? Anyone know? He was old. No, he wasn't that old. Subtract 394. We're going to talk about that. He was 600, yes. How old do people live to nowadays? 100, if that's good, yeah. Noah was 600 years old when 600 years, 2 months, and 10 days old. That's exact. Yeah. So he was pretty old, and he was told to build an ark by God. Now, in those days, they aged a bit differently because that was before the flood and before the... No, that was before the lives were capped, pretty much. Because after the flood, that's when lives were capped at around 170 or something like that. And then as time went on, that age decreased. But we won't get into that. So he was told to build an ark, and he did it. Now, first of all, people mocked him, right? If God told you to build an ark in this day and age, would you guys think it was absurd? If he provided. Yes. Would you? Yeah. So that's what happened with Noah. He was told to build an ark, and he did, but people mocked him because they said it's not going to rain. We haven't had rain in a long time, and it wouldn't rain that much. 7 days, yeah. 7 days later, it rained. How long did it rain for? 40 days and 40 nights. We had some rain this morning, which was like maybe half an hour to an hour's worth of rain. That was heavy. Yeah, but it was hard rain. And it created some puddles. Now, 40 days and 40 nights straight rain obviously created a flood, as we know from the story. Yeah, pretty much. We have sewer systems now, but they didn't have it in those days. Yeah, I don't know if you'd want to pee anywhere. Pools are dirty enough, so, and they have chlorine. Okay, I don't know. That's a good question. I think it's fresh water. Yeah, but I think there'd be so much rain that it'd be fresh water. Because rain is, like, clean. It's relatively clean. It's made from pollution, I know, but it doesn't taste like salt water, whatever. Okay, we won't get into semantics of it. We know the flood covered the entire earth, covering mountains up to, like, all the mountains were covered. Who's seen the highest mountain, Everest? Imagine that being covered. Or the highest mountain that you've ever seen. Imagine that being covered by rain. Because it rained for 40 days straight. Huh? You saw a hill. Yeah, that would be covered. Yeah. Everything was covered so that there was nothing that you could see. And all living creatures on dry land were wiped out. Anyone know how long the floods covered the earth for? No. It was a bit longer than that. No. It was over 100. No. Close. 8 more. 150 days, yes. The flood covered the earth for 150 days. And as the floods receded, the ark came to rest on the mountains of Ararat. And 74 days later, the top of the mountains became visible. Everything was wiped out. It all started growing after the waters receded, okay? It all started growing back after the waters receded. 40 days later, Noah sent out a raven. Didn't come back because ravens feed on rotten flesh, and since everything was wiped out, there's plenty of rotten flesh to be had. So then he sent out a dove on 3 occasions. First one couldn't find anything. Second one, it found an olive grove and olive leaf, yep, and returned with that. Third time, it didn't return because it actually found land. And then 2 weeks later, Noah actually saw dry land. He stayed in the ark another 57 days until God told him to leave. And at the time when God told him to leave, guess how old he was? He started at 600 years. No, it wasn't nearly that long. 601, yeah. He was in the ark for a total of 1 full year and a couple days. Now imagine being stuck in an ark with your family with smelly animals for a full year. How many of you have been grounded before? You've been confined to your room for maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours? I have. It's not that fun. Imagine being confined to an ark where you have limited space, with your whole family. Now that already sounds fun. And on top of that, you have tons of animals. You have tons of smells that all unite into one massive aroma. Huh? I think you'd get bored of that playing with the animals after a year, though. Yeah, you'd get your hand bitten off. Anyways, he was on the ark for a total of a year and a couple days. Now, I don't know how he did it, but he followed God. He was faithful.
Yep.
You can read up the story on it. I'm going to ask for questions after we're all done. Okay? Kennedy. Guys, listen up. We don't have too much time left because we started a bit late. So I just want to get through this. If you have any questions, we can go for them after, okay? So the Bible doesn't tell us anything about Noah's personal emotions during that whole year. Because in chapter 8 of Genesis, it tells about this account when God told him to leave. But we don't really know anything about what happened during that year. And he was human. We know that he was human because it doesn't say otherwise. And he was born from a mother and father. Now, as humans, we all have emotions. We all have anger. We all have sadness. He went through all these because he was human. And he had a full year where God asked him to wait on that ark. Because God's wrath was the flood. Because the world before that wasn't what God had intended. And he wanted to wipe out everyone. And Noah was the only righteous person that he had found on the earth. And he wanted to save him and his family and two of every kind of animal. So Noah did what God said. He had tried to preach to the unbelieving world before God sent the floods, but no one listened to him. He built the ark. He got the animals onto the ark, which God actually provided, because have any of you tried talking to wild animals and trying to tell them to follow you, to not attack you? It's pretty hard. Your dog won't even obey you. I know. My cat, well, I have a few cats. I won't get into it because I don't really. My sister likes them. I'm not such a big fan. But my cats don't even listen to me sometimes. God told the animals to get onto the ark, and Noah entered it with the animals and his family. Now, there was no course to follow. Have any of you been on a ship before? A ship of any kind? A boat? A cruise ship, maybe? You usually have a course that you follow, right? You usually have somewhere that you know you're headed? Noah wasn't like this. He didn't know where he was heading. He just had an endless ocean that he was drifting on. And it was sort of pointless in a way. Because he had nowhere to go, he couldn't land anywhere, so he was just drifting along in the ocean. He probably did. He couldn't direct where he was going. The ark was probably big, and they just drifted in the waters. We're going to save questions till after. Okay? Because we can look at that after. The main thing I want to get at is, we know the basic story of Noah, but Noah was in the ark for a full year and a half. Well, not a year and a half, but just over a year. And the thought comes up, do you think he felt abandoned by God? Yeah, maybe. What do you guys think? Yeah? Maybe he was angry that he was stuck in the ark? Yeah, but he was human as well. Do you think he ever doubted? He was in there for just over a year. Do you think he had human emotions? Yeah, I think so too. But the thing is, Noah trusted that God would be faithful to him. And in Genesis 8, it starts off the chapter by saying, but God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and the livestock that were with him in the ark. Now, it doesn't mean that God forgot Noah at all, but in the midst of the wrath of God and the floods that were there, God chose to have mercy on Noah because he'd been in the ark for so long. How many of you fear of being forgotten? Whether you're in school and you hang out with friends, but you don't know if they'll remember you when you're done school. Any of you? Yeah? That's one of the biggest fears that comes with death. People don't want to be forgotten. They want to be remembered. On gravestones, it will say something about their life. But who will actually remember them? Maybe their close family, but after that, time goes on and they're sometimes forgotten. One of the greatest human fears in life is the fear of being forgotten. We want to be remembered, whether it's for who we are or what we did, something like that. But Noah, he was human. He had that fear too. He might have had the fear that he was forgotten by God. And that's what we want to go after today. We want to see how human he was and how real it was to be on that ark for a full year. We're going to look at other people too, but just briefly. We're going to mainly look at Noah's time in that ark. And there's other people who may have felt like they were forgotten by God as well. I mean, Jesus, when he died on the cross, what were some of his words? My God, why have you forsaken me? Even Jesus had the human emotions, and he, at that time in his life, he even cried out to God, "Why have you forsaken me? Why have you forgotten me?" And the thing is, God never forgets us at all. I mean, Joseph was in prison for 7 years, and he still trusted that God had a plan, and God brought him out of that place. Jonah was in a whale, and if you've been around a whale, know how smelly it is inside a belly? Okay, it was a big fish, yes, but nowadays we consider it a whale. Yes, but we won't get into semantics, okay? He was stuck in the belly of a big fish, and it must have smelt, but he still trusted God that God would get him through, and he knew that God wouldn't forget him in that belly. God had asked him to do something, and Jonah at first tried to run away, but God called him, and he caused circumstances to rise up to bring him to that place. And there's also, there's many other people in the Bible who have probably gone through that same thing. Job. Anyone know the story of Job? He lost everything in maybe a day, less than a day. Yet he still, at the end of his life, chose to praise God. And the thing is, God, even though he might have wrath, he always remembers mercy. And God remembered Noah in a few different ways. The first one is, he sent a wind. In Genesis 8:1, it says that God sent a wind to blow across the earth and cause the flood waters to begin to... Now, God in all his glory, he could have just easily have spoken the words and said, "Flood waters be gone," right? He could have done that. You guys know that? Why do you think he chose to let the winds, let the waters recede slowly? He was bored? Do you really think that was why? So the earth could absorb the nutrients? Yep, that's a physical aspect of it. Testing Noah's patience? Maybe, yeah. Any other ideas? Let Noah see the glory of God. I'm going to talk about Moses and the Israelites. When Moses freed the Israelites from the Egyptians, how long were they in the desert trying to find the promised land? 40 years. And do you think God had a purpose in that? He was teaching them to be obedient to him. There's this quote I heard. I forget who it's from or how long ago I heard it, but it took 40 years for them to get to the promised land, but it also took 40 years to get the Egyptian slavery mindset out of the Israelites. That's not the exact quote, but it took those 40 years because the Israelites were still living in that mindset that they were slaves. And in those 40 years, God freed them. So it was a process that he had to take them through to get them to that place of knowing that they were no longer slaves. And it was then at that point, once they realized that, that they could enter the promised land. And it's significant that God sent the wind to recede the waters gradually. He doesn't usually do stuff in a, "Here I am, look at me," type of thing. It's usually a gradual process, even in our lives. How many of you have seen God do something in your life? Yeah, I'm pretty sure everyone of us has, but has it been, "Bang, here I am," like instant? No? It's usually been something, yeah, it's been a little subtle. Yeah, he does do that too, but there's usually some meaning behind God doing something in the process, right? And in this time, he gave Noah a sign. He caused the winds to recede the waters gradually. And in that time, it was Noah's faithfulness to God, because it took a while for the waters to recede, but Noah's been in there for like a year. And how much longer does he have to wait? The water just receded, the winds like evaporated. There's many different things that it forms, but there's oceans and stuff. And the second way God remembered Noah was he gave him a sign. He told him to look for land, and as we said before, Noah sent out a raven. It found rotten flesh, because there was flesh everywhere from all the dead people, dead things. So the raven wasn't a good sign, but then he sent out a dove. And the dove came, he sent out three times. On the third time, it didn't return because it had found land. And the thing is, God told Noah when the flood would start, but not when it would end. Do you think it's easy for us to believe God and trust in him when he tells us to start something? Yes, at times it is hard though, right? But how much harder is it to not know when it's gonna end? I think it's a lot harder. Noah was told to build the ark and the floods started, but he wasn't told when it would end. He didn't know that it would take a full year before he could actually step on land again. Do you think if he'd known that, something might have changed his mind? He might have said no. Yeah, he would have died or waited a year, so I guess he chose the best option. But the thing is, he wasn't sure what was to come. He just trusted God, knowing that God had a better plan for his life. And he didn't know when the ending would come. I'm sure he didn't expect it to be a full year. I mean, God could have just sent floods, wiped out everyone. He didn't even need floods. He could have just wiped out everyone except two of every animal and Noah's family and just left it at that within like an hour or something less. He could have just said it and it would have been done. But it was the time that it took because he wanted to take Noah through that process and grow him in that time too. And so often it's so easy for us to start something with God and not know when it's going to end. But that's what God wants to take us on, is a journey of trusting him and not knowing when it's going to end, but know that he's got a better plan for our lives. And even after Noah saw land, he didn't get out of the ark for quite a while until God told him to. And the thing is, we may try to do stuff on our own sometimes in life. I know I've tried it and it hasn't worked out, but when God tells us to do something, it's usually more beneficial for us to do it at that time. Noah could have gotten out beforehand, but would it have been the right time? He waited for God to tell him when to get out of the ark. And I know from experience that it's usually better for us to wait for God's answer before we actually act. So often we act and then we make a fool of ourselves sometimes, right? Something just goes wrong, things don't happen according to plan, but if we know that God's faithful, if we trust in his plan, then we can follow him and trust in him. And then finally God spoke to him and told him to get out. That was the last sign that God remembered Noah. He didn't tell him to stay in the ark for another year on dry land because it wasn't safe, but he told Noah to go out. And after being a year somewhere, how many of you have you've probably all graduated high school or something, or different schools, but when you start something new, is it like a scary process? Yeah, if you're moving up to a different school, if you move to a different neighborhood, are there some fears that come along with that? Yeah? So after a year of being in the ark, Noah, I'm sure that stepping out onto the unknown land, I mean, everything had changed. The floods had changed everything, wiped out everything. After a year of being in the ark where he's safe, he's secure, he knows where everything is and what's going to happen. After a year of being in that safe place, trying to step out onto the unknown land might have been a bit hard for him, but he took that step. And he knew that God would take care of him because God told him to leave the ark with his family. And he chose to take that first step, trusting God. And God did take care of him. Now, once Noah got out of the ark, what was the first thing he did? Anyone know? Yeah? Huh? He thanked God, yeah? He built an altar as well. So he left the ark, which was the first step he took. And then the next thing he did was he built an altar to God, praising him and thanking him. There was the rainbow as well. That's the sign. That's a covenant that he made, but that came in chapter 9, I believe. But this is all from chapter 8. The first thing he did when he got out of the ark was he built an altar to God. And so often in our lives, we sometimes bypass the thanking God process. We see God work in our lives, and that's exactly what happened to Noah. God told him to leave the ark when it was safe, and he did. And the first thing he did was thank God for his life, I'm guessing, because his family was the only one that was saved from the wrath of God. And so often in our lives, we can overlook thanking God and we just get to the good stuff. We want to get to the good stuff. We don't want to waste what we may think of as a waste of time thanking God. But how important is it to take that time and thank God and just realize what he's done in our lives and just how faithful he's been to us? There's the story of the 10 lepers who were cured by Jesus and only one came back, right? One came back to give thanks to God. And it's a really big sentiment when we take the time out of our day to give thanks to God for what he's done in our lives. And that's one of the things that I want to do more. And it's definitely a hard thing because as much as he's done, it's sometimes hard to give thanks to him, but that's what we want to do. We want to make sure that we give thanks to God for what he has done in our lives and just be faithful to what he has done. So I know of many people who in their lives have turned away from God because they think they've been forgotten by God. And I know some of you in this room have felt that way before too. You felt like you've been forgotten by God. You felt like maybe he's turned your back on you. When you pray, he doesn't hear. One of my old bosses, she had a really hard life and she opened up to me about it. And she used to be a Christian. She used to go to church. But after some of the things she went through, it was just like she was questioning, is God actually there? Is he actually there for me? Because after all that I've been through, I just can't see where he is. And he's asking you today. Are you going to be faithful to what he has shown you? So often in our lives, God shows us truths when we're going through good stuff. But when we're in the bad times, when something goes wrong in our lives, we don't remember it. It's so much easier to believe what God has for us when things are going good, but it's so much more needed to believe those things when we're not going through the good stuff, when things are hard. So we're just going to pray quickly, and then we're actually going to get Jez up, if he doesn't mind, to share a bit about Awakening, because he was there this past week. But we're just going to pray. Yeah, so he's probably really tired, but we're just going to pray quickly and then invite him up to just share about what God did at Awakening. So if you guys feel like this has somehow touched an area of your heart, maybe you're even feeling right now that God's not there, he's not there for you, and there's just something that you're going through that you really need help with, you can even talk to one of us after, and we'd love to pray for you as well. But God has not forgotten you, and he doesn't want you to forget him either. So God, right now we just thank you that no matter what we go through in life, you're always there for us, that even when it seems like everything's going wrong, that we can always come to you and you'll be the rock that we can stand on. And that even though it may feel like we're alone, that we never are, that you're always there with us, you're always holding our hands, and you're always there to guide us. So we ask that you'd make yourself more real to us this week, and just help us know that you are actually there. And even when things are going bad, would you help us to praise you and thank you for everything that you have done in our lives that we may be overlooked, and just help us to keep in mind how good and faithful you are. Amen.